Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined by Mark Cannizzaro of the New York Post, live from Carnoustie, the east coast of Scotland, where it was very dry, very hot yesterday, and now this morning, raining and a bit softer. Good morning, Mark. How's everything at Carnoustie?
Good morning, guys. It's a little soggy here at the moment, but it's supposed to get a little drier as the day goes.
We'll talk about the conditions in just a moment, but I wanted to get to the piece you wrote today about Johnny Vegas and his travails since he began the journey trying to get to Carnoustie. It's amazing that he's even there, but the story's crazy. What part of it leaves you wondering how he even got to the Open Championship?
Well, I mean, actually, I almost refer to, you know, to once he got here. I think my favorite part is the helicopter ride. Who wouldn't like to be parachuting in a helicopter to get yourself into the tournament? But I think the fact that he got here and his clubs didn't get here, and he was still, I mean, I know that sounds like, you know, to most of us, we don't really, you know, I mean, if we're mid handicappers or whatever, we'll play with whatever. But
yeah,
these guys are so precise, you know, the pros, you know, with the weight of their clubs and the grooves and all that kind of thing, that it's difficult to play with other equipment. I know that sounds kind of crazy to us, you know, regulars, but that's what these, you know, he was essentially playing with a thrown together set of clubs.
Yeah, for those who don't know the story, he had visa problems, didn't even get to, literally didn't get to the golf course until early Thursday morning after a helicopter ride from Glasgow, I believe, and then his caddy had to throw together a set because even after all the other troubles, including then plane cancellations and what have you, he had no clubs. He had no clubs when he got to the course and he plays.
Yeah.
What was he like afterward when you talked to him? He seemed to be like totally chill with the whole thing. Like it's been brutal, but I got to play Carnoustie.
Well, you know what? This is only his second Open Championship, and he's like, look, he would have played with a baseball bat if he had to, just to be able to play an Open Championship. It's a shame that he obviously ends up shooting 5 over par. Hopefully, he'll have a chance to make that up. I'm not aware whether his clubs got here or not today. He said he was hoping they would be here by today. Excuse me, he has an afternoon tea time, You know, he's kind of a chill kind of guy anyway, and he almost seemed a little bemused by the situation, because he said, you know, it was almost like you couldn't make it up, with the succession of crazy things that went against him. He said it almost seemed like somebody was, like, pranking him or something like that. It was somebody was doing it on purpose to him.
Mark, how would Jordan Spieth have reacted?
probably not so smoothly.
Yeah, I would say so. At the Open, the conditions always a lead story here. How do you expect them to change over the next few days with the course?
I don't think anything's going to change dramatically. This is the only day that rain is in the forecast. I think maybe a little bit on Sunday. The biggest thing, to be honest with you guys, is it hasn't been that windy. You know what? Which is why you're seeing halfway decent scores. I mean, it's not like the guys are ripping the place up by any stretch. But like, for example, yesterday it wasn't very windy at all, but it's so baked out and dry because they've had such a hot and rainless summer here so far. That's why when you look on television, it's just all just brown grass. It's just all burnt out. So the difficulty really becomes holding the fairways, because like Tiger said earlier in the week that the fairways are faster than the greens, and it's true. If you land a ball on the fairway, it's going to bounce a lot more significantly than it is going to if you land it on the green.
Yeah, you know, I'm guilty of the narrative of preaching the same narrative as so many others coming into this, that it was going to allow the bombers to continue to hit driver and that they would take even more chances, and it allowed some of the shorter guys to to use the baked out conditions to try to hang with some of the bigger guys. But what we saw yesterday was some of the bigger guys making huge mistakes and finding some pot bunkers and some burns because they couldn't control the rollout.
Exactly.
Pardon me. Do you think that whole strategy thing it will change over the next couple of days?
I think it's kind of fluid, to be honest with you. I think it really depends. Like this rain is softening the fairways up a little bit, so that's allowing, you know, the bombers to go for it a little bit more. But you know, leading into the tournament, that was actually one of the things that fascinated me the most, because you had two different schools of thought. Like if you look at yesterday, Tiger, who could hit the ball pretty far still, he was laying back all day, hitting irons off tees. But guys like Koepka and Rory and DJ, Dustin Johnson, those guys were like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to bomb it over the bunkers. And because here's the thing. The rough, because it's been so dry here, is not very green and lush down near the surface of the ground. You know, if they've had a wetter summer, there's a little bit of like kind of that lush, thick grass down below, and then as well as that wispy kind of fescue that you see on TV. Right now, all it is that wispy fescue, and it's pretty easy to hit out of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it grabs your club a little bit, but it's not that bad. And the big hitters don't mind being in that stuff, because if they're 7 feet away from the green, they can stay on the green. But as you said, you know, they were still finding some trouble yesterday. Brooks Koepka shot 41 on the front side yesterday.
Yeah.
And in fact, right before I came on with you guys, he shot 41 on the front, 31 on the back yesterday, and he's one over in the golf tournament and right in this thing right now, which is, I think that's probably one of the most remarkable turnarounds that's taken place, you know, in the last, you know, 20 hours or so.
Yeah, I was thinking about Koepka and some of the other big names. Dustin Johnson, it looks like it's going to be tough for him to even make the cut. He only has a few holes left here. But any other big names aside from Koepka that you see making a run today or tomorrow?
Well, right now, Rory has had a fantastic round. I mean, just before I went on with you guys, he's got a couple holes to play, and he's one off the lead.
And as you speak, he sprays one right on 17.
Oh, of course. I just completely jinxed him. Jason Day, at last look, had gotten himself under par, very quietly. Nobody's been talking about Jason Day, but, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know if he's one or two under, but that's right there. Anything in and around even par at the end of the day is well into this thing on the weekend without question. And, you know, no offense to Kevin Kisner, but, you know, and it's Kevin Kisner, the early leaders yesterday, this young South African, Van Ruyen, Tony Finau. These are guys that have never won majors, you know what I mean? So, you know, the experienced guys that have major championship trophies, they look above them in the leaderboard, and they kind of know, you know, who's really a threat to maybe possibly run away with it or something like that. You know, the guys right now at the top of the leaderboard, you know, at least after yesterday's round, you know, we're not threats that we're going to be going running away and hiding. So if you're just, you know, today, yesterday and today is all about just kind of jockeying for position, keeping yourself within striking distance for, you know, for guys like Rory and Tiger. You know, Spieth is going to play this afternoon. He's got to rally a little bit. I think he was one over yesterday. But, you know, that's hardly out of it. One over is only six shots out of the lead right
yep.
now. So, it's a jockeying for position to get themselves into the weekend and then, you know, start making some moves.
Mark, before we let you go, Tommy Fleetwood, popular pick coming in, obviously off of what he did at the U.S. Open and some of his play last year. A very logical pick. But what about the pressure of a guy from England to bring the claret jug home?
Well, you know, it's interesting that I believe it's been 25 years since an Englishman has won this British Open. So, I think there'd be a lot. Listen, if he's right there on Sunday, there'd be a lot of pressure for a lot of reasons. He's never won a major yet. He's still a relatively young guy on the scene. He's clearly, you know, kind of one of the hot players right now. Full disclosure, I've got a few pounds on him at the local betting parlor. So I'm quietly rooting for him to play well. It's going to be anybody that has not hoisted a major championship trophy. When they get to Sunday, it's a whole different mind, you know, feeling through your body, mindset. And, you know, if you're Tommy Fleetwood, you have to just throw out the, the thought of being the first Englishman. I mean, you know, that's just adding, that's adding logs onto the fire at that point. You know, I mean, you just got to kind of stay within yourself. I know it sounds cliche, but you can't add all that stuff. You know, and that's for us to write about and the fans to talk about and whatnot. But, I he's a guy that's absolutely been knocking on the door. I mean, he went crazy at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock on Sunday and had an incredibly good final round, even though it was coming from behind where there's a little bit less, a lot less pressure when you're coming from behind. But, you know, nonetheless, he still posted the number at Shinnecock when everybody else was, you know, standing in place. So all the credit to him and, you know, for the sake of my wallet, hopefully he carries on in the next 2 days.
Best Mark, of luck.
Mark, thanks for your time. Let's not have a Vandeveld this weekend. Nice job on the Golf Channel special, by the way. Have yourself a good time. I hope you cash.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mark Canizero from the New York Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Canizero.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.